Hi, this is Megan.
And this is Holly.
And this is Yoga in the Dark.
Yoga in the Dark is an opinion-based podcast that explores the esoteric and scientific sides of topics such as yoga, meditation, trauma, and love. Because sometimes the only way to the light is through the dark.
Today's episode is focused on finding the calm in the storm through acceptance.
How you doing, Megs?
Oh, you know, I'm doing.
Me too. Yeah.
It's such a weird time. I feel it's trying to find the balance between, I like what you said earlier, but just between gratitude and anxiety and just,
yeah,
very much both ends for me.
Really,
today.
Panic, gratitude, panic, gratitude, yeah. Panic, gratitude. This morning at 4 a.m., I felt gratitude, but by 6:45, I was in a panic.
I just love that you're awake at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Only because my lovely girlfriend snores sometimes. Love you.
Yeah, we have that problem too.
So I'm accepting her snoring by going to my own room. Yes, we have separate rooms. That's a long story for a whole other podcast. We're not talking about that here. Anyway, so yeah, let's
How are you doing, Holly?
Oh, I'm okay. I don't even know what day of quarantine this is. So technically, this is quarantine, I think, day one for like Jefferson County or the surrounding areas of Denver. But Denver went on quarantine yesterday. The work went down and out, I'd say sometime last week, at least as far as like the spa job that I have or that we've had. So that has felt interesting because it's been about a week now that I have been on my own kind of quarantine. So I'm feeling a little stir crazy, just a little bit. I've been trying to keep myself busy and also kind of like what you and I were talking about, just trying to find that balance because there is many different ways that all of us handle stress, right? Like the little meme I sent you guys this morning that was like, don't forget about our unemployed friends. We are day drinking and we are not okay.
We are not okay.
And that's kind of how it feels, right? Like there's this like, well, what the fuck else do I have to do? Yeah. So there's that aspect. And then there's also the aspect of just, I think the level of like, how many things have I put off that I always never have the time to do. So now I'm going to try to do them, like starting a garden and doing all these things. And yet my hope and desire is that as the days wear on and this starts to feel a little more like Groundhog Day. Have you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day?
I love the movie Groundhog
Day. Okay, with Bill Murray, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know you're at the end of the millennial. Well, no, you're right in the middle millennial. A middle millennial.
I'm an elder millennial.
You're like Eliza, right?
You're what, generation?
X.
X.
I used to say it was because we liked to go to raves a lot and do a lot of ecstasy. Yeah, that's why I called it. I really have no idea. I don't know if it's because they started the internet during that time. Like, I don't know what the X stands for. But whatever.
I'm sweating. I should take my...
It's okay. It's about time. Flash me your...
Should I just flash you just to get
things
started?
I'll give you some Mardi Gras beads. Woo!
You're going to give me some X? I'll take some
X. I'm going to give the elder millennials
That reminds me of this dream I had last night. I had a dream.
Please tell me.
It was like an apocalyptic dream where we were like in the grocery store, like pulling all the things off the shelf, like the last minute things that we need for survival to quarantine for a long time. And I kept pulling like chocolate bunnies off the shelf on the straw. And I was like, they're full of drugs. I was like, it's okay. We're just going to load up on these. They have a bunch of drugs in them.
Oh my God. Was that because Trump said that he's trying to get the government open by Easter?
Maybe.
I love that it's Easter candy in your
dream. I was just hoarding drug-filled chocolate bunnies.
That's fucking great. Our friend Birdie sent us a text that said, I'm just going to lay on these empty shelves and in case anybody's craving a snack. Get it, Birdie. So that's how I'm doing. You know, I think it's just like a mix of like, are we all going mad? I think we are all a little and we all deal with it differently, right? So some days I'm like, yeah, break out the Boda box of wine. And then other days I'm like, maybe I should be inspirational and make a post about something. And then I'm like, all of us fucking yogis are already doing that. So I'm trying not to get on that bandwagon. I'm going to wait until all the other yogis lose steam, like quarantine day 12. And I'll be like, guess what, bitches? I'm here with your meditation.
And then you'll be the one to comfort all the yogis
here
that are
to
losing
save
their
the day.
I am not quite in the same boat as some other people. Like, I don't quite understand the stir craziness and, like, the free time because I still have a 1.5-year-old. So
Life does not slow down for
exactly, you. Exactly. So I don't ever have like a whole day of free time. And so I'm not really experiencing a lot of the madness that other people right? are.
Bash is like, apocalypse what?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We keep calling it the apocalypse, you guys. So forgive us. It's really not, but it's catching now.
Please,
so.
Yeah, please don't let us freak you out. It's just twisted humor, my way of handling things.
It makes me feel better.
Whenever I go to the store and the shelves are empty, I'm just like, wow, I feel like we're in an apocalypse movie.
Just buy Easter bunnies full of drugs.
Molly and ecstasy and
everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Kids, don't do drugs. I was part of the DARE team growing up.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was really proud of me. And then really Generation X kicked in. I'm just kidding.
And then Generation Ecstasy came.
This is what happens when we're on quarantine. So this is episode 2, and what you going to bring to the table today, Mex?
So today I'm going to talk about Santosh, or Santosha, the second of the Niyamas on Patanjali's 8 Limbs of Yoga. So Santosh means contentment. It's basically just acceptance of what is, or being in acceptance of your environment, or even being symbiotic with your environment, if possible. Times like pandemics are a bit more of a challenge, obviously, to practice contentment and acceptance of your environment and your surroundings. One thing that I like to remember to help kind of activate Santosha contentment within yourself is this too shall pass. It's just a good reminder that everything is temporary, like this pandemic is temporary. Mm-hmm. As long as I can remember to see the light at the end of the tunnel during a tough time, then I'm okay. So underlying all the turmoil of our emotions and us being stressed out and lashing out at our partners and our family.
For real.
There's always
I'm sorry, honey, for lashing out at you.
Same.
Let's just apologize on recording.
Right. Can we just get on and have our weekly apology?
Yeah. Sorry to derail you.
No, that's okay. I just gotta find my place.
Find your
So place. Even when there are parts of us that are experiencing pain and we don't feel okay, that part of us underneath is always still okay. So sometimes we need a reminder. There's always this part under you that is okay. Like there's parts of you that can be not okay. And it's okay for us to be anxious and then still be living in a place of love.
Kind of that goes back to even what we talked about last week, right, with anxiety. That it doesn't make up all of you.
Exactly.
You can feel that anxiety and still have a centered place that you come back to.
Yeah.
And is that what Santosh means for you? Or?
And it's not ignoring the parts of yourself that are emotional or that are freaking out or maybe depressed or stressed out at this time. It's just recognizing that, like, you can feel not okay. Like, it's okay to be not okay because there's still the core of your being is this source that's always okay. Like, it's unwavering peace and it's acceptance. And it goes the other way, too. So when I'm at my happiest, I always have, like, a gentle voice in the back of my head that tells me to be mindful for whatever is coming, which is kind of
I need
up.
To cultivate that.
But yeah, it's like I'll catch myself being like, I'm so happy right now. Everything's going so well. And then I have to have a tiny voice in my back of my head that's like, okay, well, don't crash when something goes wrong.
Right.
Then.
Don't allow your entire world to be upheaved when the reality sets in and bliss kind of fades out for a minute.
So I tend to be like, I had everything and now it's gone.
It's all gone. The apocalypse is here.
Yeah. The apocalypse is real. So what goes up must come down.
Indeed.
And then something will always happen that's not in my favor. And so I have to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And then when I come back down again, I understand that c'est la vie. It's how it is. This too shall pass again. Mm-hmm. Again, sometimes I have to have a negative emotional reaction before I understand all this, you know?
Right.
Like I'm not saying we're all perfect and we just numb out our feelings. Like sometimes you're going to freak out and be anxious and you're gonna have to feel that for a second and then we can still return to source though. So that's what Santosh is. Ironically, change is perhaps the only constant in life, and so whether you love it or hate it, it just is what it is.
Ain't that a hard lesson to learn? A change really is the only thing that you can bank on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so it's inevitable. So we love it or hate it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a way for people, especially with everything that's happening worldwide, with our president offering the nice goal for the countries that were open back up by Easter? How can the average person use Santosh as or acceptance as a way to navigate kind of what's happening in their daily lives, especially for those of us who are unemployed right now.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to get to that. I was thinking...
I jumped the gun.
A little bit, but that's okay.
That's just who I am.
Yes. Holly is very impatient. She's not practicing
you guys right now. Half of these lessons that Megan brings are for me.
Yeah.
So...
I'm like, Holly, sit down. You need to hear this.
Yeah, basically, this is my grounding right now.
Tell me like it is. Yeah. I mean, so definitely, like, yoga nidra is a really, really good way to practice contentment. And so I'll explain why. Like, each person's existence and body is made up of different layers, or what we call sheaths, which are koshas. And so we have the outermost body, which is the food body. Then we have the breath body, the mental body, the psychic body, which is like thinking. And then we have the bliss body. Underneath it all is sahaj, which is being, or pure awareness. So you can think of it like a light bulb. So our sahaj is the awareness at the center. Mm-hmm. It's like a light bulb. And then each kosha is like a lampshade that you put over the light bulb. And so you can see if we're not taking very good care of like the outer layers, like if we're not eating right and our food body is neglected, or we're not sleeping right.
If we're day drinking in the middle of an apocalypse.
Yeah.
What sheath is that affecting? That's what I want to know.
Help
me.
Maybe
all of them.
Help me. I'm poor and day drinking. Yeah, you can see how the light won't shine through very well.
Like, right.
Our existence is a bit dimmed. Hmm. And so to answer your question, so when we do yoga nidra, what we're doing is we're constantly returning to that source. So at our core is that light bulb, right? It's our pure awareness. It's pretty much whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it your soul, if you want to call it God or goddess or the universe, or it's that light inside of you. And every time that we do yoga nidra, we go down through each one of the layers back to that being and that pure awareness. And that's the part of us inside that's always okay, underlying it all. We just get out of touch with it when we get stuck in the other layers. Mm-hmm. Like when we're having a panic attack, you know, we're stuck in our emotional body.
Right.
And so we just can't even remember the feeling of santosh. Yeah, we don't remember our true existence.
Right.
Don't want to get too, you know, like religious or cater to
one
person's religion or not over another. But sahaj, it's eternal. So we forget that we're going to be okay no matter what. And
that which leaves us this physical body.
Exactly. This too shall pass. And even if this life sucks, even if your whole fucking life sucks, you're going to, like, you know, return to the place where all souls go and then possibly be reincarnated or whatever you believe in.
I feel like heaven, this is what they've been talking about in the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries. Like, life is bad. Just repent and you'll be fine. Your soul returned to the bliss place. I don't know. Do you mind giving a brief? I don't know that we've – I mean, I think we mentioned about nidra. I think we talked about nidra before. We're both very passionate about nidra. You'll end up hearing us refer to this a lot. But, Megs, do you want to give a very brief definition of what nidra is for people? And maybe it'll sell y'all on it a little bit, because we're big advocates for this.
So I definitely want to record a yoga nidra meditation and release it for all of you to have access to, because it may just be your sanity through this entire thing.
Indeed.
So yoga nidra, it's a sleep-based meditation. Nidra in Sanskrit means sleep, and so it's yogic sleep. So it's kind of like a lay-down meditation, except for you don't actually go to sleep. You'll feel like you're kind of drifting in and out of sleep because your brain will go into deep sleep brain waves.
Right.
And so it's at this place where you are the most relaxed. And when you can reach these deep states of relaxation, then your nervous system resets.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually come out of yoga nidra like feeling fine.
Indeed.
Yeah. And there's so many other aspects and benefits of nidra. Right.
Well, and definitely a conversation for another podcast, which we'll bring in. What I have often said to people, especially for new people who are like, I can't meditate, I can't sit down, I can't do this. Well, guess what? You're in the middle of a quarantine. Whether you're in the state of Colorado or you're somewhere around in the world, there is going to be quarantine left and right. And we are looking at, in my personal opinion, the long haul. You know, this might be Colorado, but it might be Utah next month, or it might be Wyoming or wherever else. And so thinking about what might be opportunities for us to find that calm in the storm, Nidra is literally the easiest meditation anyone can ever do. You lie down. You don't do shit. This is the reason why I love Nidra, mm-hmm. because getting me to sit like I'm the Buddha with my fingers, you know, in that little Buddha shape, and I'm sitting, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know what the mudra is. You guys, seriously, I'm a yogi, but you
Gayan.
Don't
really know.
Gayan,
the index of them together.
Megan
knows.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm the esoteric.
That's why you're the esoteric, you're the scientific, and I'm the scientific. The reason why I love Nidra is because of the science behind it. And like I said, we'll get to that another day. But I do think that it's so important for people to know that there are tools out there that can help them. And this is related to your topic, you know, of finding that acceptance, finding santosh. And Nidra is pretty effortless.
Yeah, when I'm in my deepest stages of relaxation, I'm sorry. That was just a yoga implant. I was going to say, one of my deepest stages of depression. And just like go into Freudian like, slip. Like a recording. Like I'm just teaching. I'm like the deepest stages of relaxation. Because I have anxiety and depression. And so when Me I'm in too. My like deepest stages of mm-hmm. depression, Nidra is like the only thing I can do. People are like, you should exercise, or you should sit and meditate, or you should do yoga. Right. And it's like, sometimes all I can do is lay in my fucking bed and hit start.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I'm literally going to slit someone's throat.
If I do anything else, I'm going to slit someone's throat.
Yeah.
And maybe I should just lay down.
Maybe you should just lay down. And honestly, just lay down. It just happens to you. you really don't have to do anything. It's like, it's the art of non-doing. It's mm-hmm. actually the practice of complete effortlessness. Which is hard for people sometimes wrap their heads around. But one thing I like about Nidra is the combination of the esoteric and the scientific. You go through the different layers of consciousness down into the sahaj, which is consciousness, awareness. And you're also completely balancing and resetting the nervous system, which takes you to that place. So if you look at it, you're kind of saying the same thing, whether you're talking about spiritual or scientific stuff. You're returning to contentment.
Yeah. Santosh. Ooh, right. Well, I mean, exactly like, you know, I love all the brainwave stuff. And so I think about if you can get to that place where you are finally relaxing, mm-hmm. your brainwaves are going to start becoming less and less chaotic and then move towards more of that, just that settled baseline.
There's scientific proof of this, y'all.
So I have one more question.
Okay.
And you might end up getting to this anyway, so tell me if I need to stop. So say, you know, especially when there's been times where I've been really stressed out, Nidra didn't feel like an option.
Sure.
So what might be another way, especially like the death of my mother in January? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what? We're in March? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what day it is anymore because it's fucking quarantine.
I agree.
Right? So
days don't matter anymore.
Days really
Time
don't matter.
Time isn't real.
No, it's
not real, man.
What do the yogis say? Like, you believe in time.
Yeah.
No.
I actually have a watch that just says now.
Now. Yeah. Me too. So we're so twinning. How might somebody say, maybe who's feeling too much anxiety mm-hmm. to Nidra, how might they be able to work within this concept of santosh?
I am so glad that you asked.
You know, I'm just segueing here.
One thing that you can do, which I feel like there's no way to say it without it just sounding kind of depressing, so I'm just going to say it.
Just depressing.
So you have to start functioning on a day-to-day basis in everything you do, releasing the notions of quote-unquote good and bad. Mm. So everything just is. And I feel like a lot of times when people hear that, they think, oh, that just sounds like life is completely bland. Like
miserable.
There's no good or bad. It just is what it is. But when you actually start experiencing it, it's quite the opposite. So normally we look for the quote-unquote good things in our life happening to bring us joy and to bring us happiness. But like I said before, what goes up must go down. So when we are experiencing that happiness, we're going to experience sadness. It's going to go away.
Right.
It's fleeting, right? So santosh, contentment, like connecting to your true inner source, that never goes away. It is always an option for you. And so once you can find yourself in this place of contentment, of santosh, joy starts to come from equanimity instead of good. So it's a different kind of joy. When we're happy, it's like an excited joy. Like,
right.
And it's very easily taken away from us. When we're in a place of santosh, of acceptance, it's a calm joy that really just can't be fucked with.
Find your inner unfuckability.
Exactly.
I.e. santosh.
TM. Bumper sticker that.
Trademark.
Make a bumper
Trademark.
Sticker.
We're trademarking that.
So instead of living in that emotional body of like happiness or sadness, we're just living in source. I think I already said that. So you can cut all that out.
I love it all. I'm going to leave it all in.
Another one that sounds so cliche, and I bet Holly is just going to fucking scoff at me when I say this, is we have to have a gratitude practice. I really think a gratitude practice is a huge part of this. We all have said, I'll be happy when I lose a couple of pounds. I'll be happy when I get a promotion. I'll be happy when the pandemic is over.
That's what I was going to say. You read my mind. I'll be happy when this pandemic is over.
But you actually have the ability to find peace now. Mm. And it's just your mental body that convinces you that you don't. So we must go inwards to find happiness and not search for things outside of us to make us feel happy. I'm telling you, the perfect way to do this is to have a gratitude practice. The hardest part is just getting started. I have an altar set up that I sit and meditate in front of, but you can just do it in your bed, at your kitchen table, you can while you're drinking coffee, and you just literally, I write them out. For me, just saying them in my head just sounds too easy, and then I'll just not ever do it. But I literally write, I have a gratitude journal, so I write in it every single day. And I write down everything I'm grateful for. And that includes little things, you know, like I'll be like, the sun is out today. Like, I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for this cup of tea. I'm grateful for my baby. He's laughing this morning.
Oh, little babes.
Yeah, I'm grateful that I didn't get covered in poop while I was changing his diaper this morning. That was really
too.
Nice.
Me too. I'm quite grateful you didn't either. That might have been messy.
I give gratitude for my house and my car running. And I know it sounds cheesy, but like after you write down every single thing you're grateful for, you're completely in connection with Santosh. You'll feel this like light within your body. And and it's hard to explain until you're feeling it, but it actually happens. And I'm telling you, you have to do it every single morning, and it'll reset you.
I think I need to return to that. You know, I went to a Buddhist retreat many, many years ago. And one of the things that I found to be really interesting was we had an exercise where we were writing to our bodies. And the first letter I drafted, talk about perspective. I was so not accepting of anything. Like, I was like, my knees hurt. I have short of breath. Like, I don't have the thighs I want, and my stomach's not flat. And it was all these things. And after reading through that, the exercise and the learning that came from me was, I really appreciate the breath that my lungs do take in. I really appreciate the fact that my heart beats. I think it's, I don't know, billion times in our lifetime, to that it does that even when I'm sleeping, that I have the opportunity to digest food. I mean, even right down to the minute nano kind of scopic level, keeping it scientific, you know? No, to that point that we really, really get to experience some level of gratitude, even for just this single breath gives me a pause. It gives me acceptance. It gives me a moment to be grateful for.
Yeah. And I mean, people kind of suck. I mean, we...
people do suck.
The thing is like... Suck less. The thing is, when we have an injury, for example, we are very focused on complaining about it every day and being very angry at it. But then once it's gone, we don't even focus on being grateful that we're not injured anymore.
That we're not injured anymore.
You know, I caught myself doing that. Like, I was so upset I had a neck injury and I couldn't like do yoga or any kind of physical... really movement at all for like 2 months, and then I was complaining about it unhappy every day, and then it was better, and now I'm like, wow, I need to be grateful every morning that I wake up. I'm so grateful my neck works. Like, it's simple things like that. And the thing is, like,
the joy of looking right and left.
And when we're in a state of discontent, we're focusing on everything bad, and it's really easy right now to wake up and think of all the bad things. I'm stuck in my house. I'm not working. I'm not making any money. There's a pandemic. I could get sick. I could die. My family could get sick. I'm sorry if I'm freaking you guys out by listing all these things. But
there's a light. There's a light. Follow the light.
So with Santosh, it's also about the balance. So it's not ignoring the bad things. It's also listing all the good things and saying, oh, well, here's the balance. And so when you give gratitude for all the good things in your life, then you look at the bad things and you say, okay, well, now I can handle this because I have all these things that are going so well in my life.
What did I do want to even mention this? I hope I didn't mention this on the last podcast. I don't think I did. But it was Eckhart Tolle's response to everything that's happening. And he was saying, you know, he was like, I don't often bring out the Bible, because he's really not. I mean, he references things like that, but he's just an esoteric, mm-hmm. agnostic, spiritual kind of person.
Yeah, you got to pull from all
right?
the religions.
Pull from all of it, right? Yeah. They're all the wells. Mm-hmm. They're all the wells drill towards the same
They're all saying river the same source. Shit.
They really are. So he says that parable of that Jesus is telling the story. And you guys, if you know anything about me, you know that this is not coming from this religious place, but really just this parable of the lesson that's in it. Of there's these two homes, right? And one home is built on sand and the other one is built deep with a foundation that's connected to the earth. And that's really, I feel like what you're saying is if you continue to come back mm-hmm. to the house you built, if you can go deeper in the times of adversity, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
The house that's built on sand is going to fall away mm-hmm. and it's going to disintegrate. And that's what's happening, I think, for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. We're recognizing that we've built a lot of our houses, a lot of our existence on sand.
It's a really good way to put it.
Right. And yeah. So now it's time. What can we go underneath? What can we go deeper in? And can we use this as an opportunity to build a strong foundation?
Mm-hmm. And so I have a silent meditation practice too, but I've had a lot of trouble doing silent meditation lately. And I mm-hmm. think it's just the anxiety that's in the ether. So Absolutely. When I go in to meditate, so when you meditate, it's the same thing as yoga nidra. So you descend through all the koshas into the source, the core mm-hmm. source. But I can't get past the emotional layer when I sit and do silent meditation because there's so much anxiety there. Mm. So that's why I'm saying yoga nidra instead of silent meditation, because let someone else guide you through it, you know. And yoga nidra, I'm going to provide one for everyone, but I just would also like to say that you can just Google yoga nidra. It's on
Seriously,
YouTube for free.
You guys,
it's on
so
all the
many.
Meditation apps. Mm-hmm. Just
free resources
on a recording
everywhere.
Seriously.
Yes, absolutely. I can tell you that it was hard for me, especially during times. And you'll just have to navigate what is the best tool for you for meditation. Maybe it's nidra. Maybe it's silent meditation. Maybe you want to go take a walking meditation.
Totally.
Anything that brings you back to that place of acceptance and
Yeah.
Santosh.
And do a gratitude list every single day. I know it's hard to make yourself do something, but it literally takes 5 minutes just to write something
that you're
grateful for.
I'm going to do it. You've inspired
me.
I did do it there for a while and fell off of it. So I think it would be a really good thing because, like I said at the beginning, what, right? Like 4 a.m. Yeah. I woke up in gratitude. By 6:45, yep. I was mm-hmm. in a panic. Yeah. That's how the pendulum swings
exactly
these days. So I need to come back to that place of,
Right. And when you write them down, I mean, you can write it all down and then close your eyes and then repeat them in your head. And each time that you say the thing you're grateful for, bring the awareness to the feeling in the body.
Hmm.
So I'm grateful for my family. And then I feel this like warmth in my chest. And then you can just tap into this feeling every single morning and start your day that way. And if you can't think of things you're grateful for, if you're like, fuck that, I'm not making gratitude lists, like I have nothing to be grateful for. I recommend that you look back in your life and look at all the like bad things that have happened to you mm-hmm. and just be grateful that you're not going through that right now. Be grateful that that's fucking
What's
over.
What's that meme I sent you guys yesterday that was like, just remember, someone is under quarantine with your ex.
Yes, that's a good one. It's so true. Think about that. And then also just start.
Think about that.
Just start
you
like.
You don't have to hang out with them. They do.
Be grateful for the breath. Be grateful you can breathe right now.
Indeed.
Seriously.
If that's all you have, you can take a single breath. Be grateful that your lungs worked simply for that one breath.
It's so simple and it's so hard. I'm not saying this practice is easy, you guys.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
It's not. And it's also, it's not a destination. It's a practice. And so there's going to be times when we get stuck in our other layers, when we get stuck in our thinking body and we are just racing thoughts and freaking out and trying to figure out how we're going to handle this. And there's going to be times when we're very depressed or we're very anxious. And so just make sure that you're advocating for what you need, you know, reaching out to people when you need help. You know, take a moment to vent if you need to. I'm not saying we can never complain. We have to just shut up and pretend like nothing's happening.
Right. Don't be so full of love and light that you can't be authentic.
We're not spiritually bypassing
here.
Call a friend and vent everything. And then and then once you've said it all, then ask yourself, what are you doing to make it better? What are you doing to make the best of it? Are you just complaining about it over and over and over and over again? Mm-hmm. Or are you venting and getting it out and then you're taking a plan of action to fix it and then also remembering all the things you love about life still?
Right.
So that's Suntish.
Woohoo, girl. I love it. I love it. I love Santosh. I'm going to work on that gratitude list tenfold.
Okay, can we take a bathroom break?
Yep, we sure can.
Okay.
So I'm bringing to the table something that's definitely connected to Santosh, and it's funny how this just works out. I mean, this is only episode 2, so we'll see if this continues to happen. But I'm going to bring to the table a way to find acceptance by coming to terms with a condition that I have suffered with a long, long time, and it's imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Haven't we all?
Dun, 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 dun. So I'll first start by saying the definition, it's defined as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success. Imposters suffer from chronic self-doubt and a sense of intellectual fraudulence that override any feelings of success or external proof of their competence. Oh, that's a mouthful. Yeah. I need to like take a deep breath. I'm like, that just makes me feel anxiety even talking about it. I'm like, it's me. So I like to always, especially with the scientific piece, kind of go through where I got some of my information. So the first one is a lovely podcast called Unfuck Your Brain with Kara Lowenthal.
I love that podcast.
Yeah, she's great. She grinds my gears sometimes because she gets real, I don't even know. Are you laughing at me because I said grind my gears?
You know what really grinds my gears?
That's a Family Guy
quote.
Yeah,
it is.
You know what really grinds my gears? I wish I had a show called Grinds My Gears.
Really? You should. Huh. Our next podcast.
Our next podcast is going to be called Grind My Gears. Look, I got red wine on my lens.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to leave it there today. Yeah.
I'm practicing Santosh.
You're accepting the red wine on your glasses.
Yes. You guys, your unemployed friends are day drinking. They're not doing well.
We are not okay.
Seriously. So the other source is Harvard Business Review. Let me start over with these sources. Yeah, I'm going to have to really rewind and cut that out. So the sources, podcast, Unfuck Your Brain with Kara Lowenthal, Harvard Business Review, titled Everyone Suffers from Imposter Syndrome by Andy Molinsky. And then interestingly, I found an article from 1978 called The Imposter Phenomenon in High Achieving Women and Women in?
Women in.
Women in. We are complex. and I included that 1978 article because it blew my mind that they called it a phenomenon, considering women have been struggling and trying to work toward being seen as equivalent to men for so long that they called it a phenomenon. Of course, we're going to feel like imposters in what feels like a man's world at times. It's estimated that 70% of people experience at least one episode of imposter syndrome. I would say it's probably 100%. I think that anytime that you feel uncertain, insecure, any area of your life where you feel as if you're a fraud is an opportunity for you to kind of recognize that that's an imposter syndrome moment.
Totally. I feel like a lot of people feel it too and don't realize it. So you might be turning on some light bulbs for people right now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm totally taking off these glasses.
Just thinking, like, I have to wipe your glasses.
I can't do it.
It's driving me crazy.
It's driving me crazy.
I'm not practicing Santosh well.
Except my glasses the way they are, Megan. I do have to wipe them though because they really did have a big splurge of red wine on them. And it's only, I don't know, 3 o'clock on a fucking Thursday. We're under quarantine. It's 5 o'clock everywhere.
There is no time.
Hell no. So factors that contribute to imposter syndrome are family dynamics, your way you were raised, anything that occurs. And I'll elaborate a little further into that.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah. Gender stereotypes. So, and that's not just like gender as an expression of like female and male genders, but also just even when it comes to, I think, the stereotypes that we think we have to fulfill, even in our LGBT community or our non-conforming communities.
Sure.
And I can only speak to certain aspects, obviously, but it would be my guess. Cultural aspects, and I think that ties into what I just spoke to. And then attachment and trauma. Those are huge factors that play into our ability to own our successes.
Are you talking about attachment and trauma together or like two separate things?
Oh, I don't know. I think that they're kind of combined and I think that they could be separate. I think that anytime we experience a traumatic event, whether it be complex childhood trauma growing up, which is incredibly severe and very challenging to navigate, and then into an adult situation. So maybe you get a job promotion and you're now finding yourself in a situation where maybe you're the only identifying female in the group, or maybe you find yourself in what feels like kind of like the old men's club kind of stuff. I don't know. Is that the term? Old men's club?
Sounds like something.
I don't know. We'll look it up later. Something that is popping up that I really want to make sure I insert here is there's an overlap with social anxiety, and it's that feeling that someone does not belong in social situations. Mm-hmm. So this can be as minuscule as just going out into a group of friends. I know we're not all doing that now because of quarantine, but later when you get to it. Stop teasing
us with these ideas of fun things.
It's all going to pass. Later when you get to hanging out again, maybe you'll remember this podcast or this episode and be like, oh my God, I'm suffering from this anxiety, which really is this imposter syndrome. So moving forward from there, maybe, I don't know if it's like the what came first, the chicken or the egg, but depression, generalized anxiety, and then low self-confidence. All of those are correlations. Who's to say, and really I think it's case by case on, did you have the depression, anxiety, and low self-confidence before you had imposter syndrome, or maybe some conditions came about in your life, then you started to feel it like you were an imposter and then experienced depression,
chicken
anxiety.
Chicken or the egg.
Chicken or the egg. I don't really know. There's scientists talking about that for decades, right? I don't even know. Cut that out. Anyway, on the Imagined Life podcast, that's another little source that I want to insert. They did an episode with J.K. Rowling where they tell you about her life. You don't know it's about her until you get to the end of the podcast and you hear this amazing story of how this woman moved through a very perilous time. She was in an abusive relationship and had to flee and get to this place. She was working in a coffee shop. She was a single mom. And she comes to her sister and she's just like, I'm a writer. And her sister's like, okay, you're a writer. Mm-hmm. And it took her so long to get to this place where she felt like she could embody the Harry Potter story, mm-hmm. where she could embody that she was the author of such a brilliantly told story that has affected so many people's lives worldwide. She's quite an amazing person. So it's just really interesting to think about somebody like J.K. Rowling, who has a tremendous amount of success, is known worldwide for her contributions to science fiction and fantasy, and that she even herself has suffered from imposter syndrome. I did come across in Harvard Business Review where the CEO of Starbucks, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he's still currently the CEO, Howard Schultz, he says, very few people get into the seat of CEO and believe they are qualified to be there. They're not going to tell you that, but it's true. Hmm. And so I thought that that was really interesting because I think you think of people in these high positions in our corporate world and you assume that they have everything figured out. Mm-hmm. And they even them are suffering from their own kind of imposter syndrome.
That's so interesting. Right? I know I felt that as a teacher before. I remember being like a young student and looking up to all my teachers and thinking, they're just like these amazing beings. They're like,
right, they higher, like walk on water.
Yeah, they're a higher walk of life than me. Mm-hmm. And then like when I've been teaching for like a few years now and then I'll have students come up to me and I feel almost like they're looking at me like that and I get so uncomfortable.
They pedestalize you.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, imposter syndrome hard. Like mm-hmm. I'm just a person. Yeah, and I'm not trying to like be all high and mighty, Megan.
That's her nickname in other areas of her life.
Yeah, my partner calls me that occasionally, and
I think my partner's gonna start calling me that. Not high and mighty Megan, but high and mighty Holly.
But yeah, I don't at all see myself as like this amazing teacher.
Right. We all have that. And I've experienced that too. I remember asking my therapist once. I was like, Laura, I really want to understand this, because I just finished yoga teacher training, what, 4 years ago? So in 2016, I finished yoga teacher training and I was busting my fucking ass. I mean, I have two kids. I was teaching a third grade, highly gifted and talented classroom. So I'm working 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week doing that. I have my kids and I'm in yoga teacher training. And then when I got done with school and it came time to actually get out there and teach and audition, I realized that I was in completely uncharted territory. Hmm. And it was so humbling. It was humbling to the degree, though, that I felt so insecure. And I remember going to my therapist and I was like, Laura, I want to understand this. Like, there are people who are in the same teacher training as me and they already have like teaching positions. And she was like, I don't really know why some people hit the ground running. And I didn't understand really what she meant by that. And I think that for me, I have suffered deeply from this ideology that I'm supposed to show up a certain way, mm-hmm. that as a teacher, I have this idea in my head of like what a yoga teacher sounds like, looks like. And I'm not just talking about the white woman in Lululemon pants, you guys. I'm talking about the people who I truly respect in my inner yoga community, mm-hmm. that I believe are living their yoga. Mm-hmm. And I have been so hard on myself around that. I'm like, I'm not living my yoga. And that's why I'm an imposter and I don't belong here. So that's been an interesting journey to navigate, which is why I felt like this was so appropriate for the second episode, especially as we move into this quarantine. And for anyone that's in Colorado, I feel you. For any of you who are unemployed, I feel you. For any of you who work for yourself, that has been something that has been huge for me. And I want to give a little shout out to my friend Alyssa. She made a post that inspired so much of this a while back, where she kind of was talking about how she went through this existential crisis, where she was about to move out from her current studio and move into working for herself. And one of the things that occurred to her was how much she connected her identity to her work. And one thing that I want to speak to is for all of us entrepreneurs who are currently out of work right now, I feel you. Mm-hmm. I feel you so hard, because we have lived this life, or we've built this life around our identity being that which we're entrepreneurs. We tell our story. We are branded. We move through the world with what feels like a little more ease. At least that's why what I think people project onto us. And I have projected out, I think. I have oftentimes expressed how grateful I am for being like, I work for myself. I make my own schedule. I get to do all these things. Well, guess what? I'm super grateful right now. I worked my ass off at the spa last year because that's the only thing that I'm riding on right now. And thankfully, I think you said that the bill's changing, like they changed some things with the bills that are coming through Congress that are hopefully going to help small business owners, mm-hmm. and sole proprietors and entrepreneurs be able to receive some type of support, because these are the people who are suffering the most. You know, we are the ones who are not being able to get some of the kickback for being out of work.
Yeah, when we pay people, taxes too. Some people can work from home, or some people can file for unemployment.
I can't touch you from across the computer screen as much as I want to.
And then if you are the owner of your business and there's only you, you're like the only person.
Yeah, you can't pay yourself unemployment.
Yeah, and you can't even file for unemployment. That's why I had to start a GoFundMe just to keep my business afloat. But yeah, I think all that's changing. So I think we can apply for unemployment now, so if we get money from the state, then I can give all that money back to those people.
Those poor people.
Which, thank you, by the way, for donating.
Yeah, thank you all for helping our friends, seriously. And well, and this kind of all ties back into what you were saying, like Santosh is around acceptance, around finding calm in the storm. And for many of us who are now not being able to work and be the entrepreneur, live within the entrepreneurial spirit, excuse me. Now I'm the one who's belching.
A little wine drunk.
Just a teeny bit. I'm fine. I'm fine. It's 4 p.m. I'm fine. You know, so many of us attach our identity to our jobs. Mm-hmm. And being out of work is going to make you have to face some of the things that maybe you have constructed around this pandemic we're experiencing. So moving through some factors that contribute to imposter syndrome: starting new projects, stepping outside of your comfort zone. Maybe you came from a family that stressed high achievement, and or you had overly critical parents. I'm going to add on. Or maybe you're under quarantine. This is going to be an opportunity for you to really sit with some of those emotions that are coming up, because all of these are factors. Mm-hmm. So tips for moving past imposter syndrome. First, just embrace it a little bit. Be open to acknowledging your insecurities. Be open to acknowledging that you feel like a fraud. I think that that's been really important. Even as myself as a yoga teacher, I have oftentimes admitted it to my students, like, I feel like a fraud standing up here. And whether or not they can hold that with me, maybe they want to pedestalize me, but really, honestly, I'm super uncomfortable being up on that pedestal.
Totally.
Like, it's a long fall, hard, long fall. That's what I meant. Yeah. Who fucking knows? I have had a little bit of wine, you guys. I'm unemployed. So
hashtag quarantine 2020, hashtag day drinking, hashtag unemployment.
Hashtag I'm not a fraud. So you can do a little journaling, just like Megan was saying, like a gratitude journal is super great. I also think it would be important to you to ask yourself a few of these things. So first, what core beliefs do I hold about myself? If your core belief is that your identity is expressed through your work, you're going to struggle right now.
Sure.
Right? Do I believe I am worthy of love as I am? I'm going to get a little therapeutic here. If you do not feel you are worthy of love, you are not going to feel you are worthy of that job promotion, that you are worthy of that role as a teacher, educator, that you are worthy just in general. So it's important to ask yourself, where in your areas of your life do you feel as if you have some questions around that?
And I feel like a big part of that is self-love too, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You got to self-love. And you know, and I think the thing that's been really misconstrued in the yoga community is this idea of self-love means that you don't ever have conflict. I don't know why I said it that way.
Conflict.
You guys, I don't know what accent comes through. She's sometimes
channeling her inner New Yorker.
Apparently. But I feel oftentimes that in the yoga community, we struggle to behave and act as if we are perfect. And that's actually one of the last questions that said, must I be perfect for others to approve of me? And for any of the people out there who are struggling with identifying, even with, say, a yoga community or even going into a yoga studio, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that perfectionism can interfere with your ability to relax. So there's no script. And for anybody who's projecting perfectionism, go ahead and steer clear a little bit, because those might not be. Cut that fucking shit out.
You're making us all look bad.
Yeah, really, yogis.
But no, you're just making us uncomfortable.
Stop it right now. You fucking yogis, stop it.
I mean, when I'm teaching, I mess up all the time. I can have an issue with words.
Me too.
I stumble over my words all the lisp. So I mess up at least once per yoga class. And I'm actually super humbled when I go to a yoga class, especially when it's a teacher I really, really admire, and they mess up. I'm like, oh, like, thank goddess, you're human too.
Right? We're so human. And that's the thing too. I think with so many of us learning to navigate the identities that we capture ourselves in, we tend to do that. And imposter syndrome is another trap. And all of the messages that come with being and feeling like an imposter are also a trap. So it's just to remember that we can share our feelings. We can share our feelings. We can talk to trusted friends or a counselor. Sound like you were going to say something.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
It might not be a best.
Ask away.
So my question is, how do we know when we have imposter syndrome or when we actually do suck at something?
Well,
how do we know the difference between those two things?
Let me think about that.
I guess
one.
My question is imposter syndrome ever valid?
Yes. I think that there are some humbling moments. You know, I actually, this speaks to how I used to view myself as a yoga teacher. So I have been a yogi for 20 years now. I mean, I started doing yoga when I was pregnant with my first son, and he's 19 now. He's 19 and a half. And so it's just been pretty bizarre, this whole journey. I had such ideas about what kind of yoga teacher I was going to be. And I was incredibly humbled when I got done with yoga teacher training and I went to go teach my very first, or I went to go audition, and I went and auditioned, and this woman, oh my God, I have never felt so much pressure. I felt less pressure auditioning or coming in as a teacher candidate to teach elementary school than walking into this yoga studio. This woman was like, no, we're not just doing a 10-minute audition. You're doing a full 90-minute class from beginning to end. Yes.
90 minutes?
Absolutely. That was my very first audition.
Can I ask you where this was?
It was at Kula Yoga, which recently closed down. I don't think that they're correlated.
I bet that bitch just one day was like, I need a yoga class, and I'm going to get a free one from the next person that walks through that door.
Seriously. She was a special human, and, you know, I will just say, Kula provided a lot to the Lakewood community, and we actually, Cole taught there, Cole Schlamm. She's an amazing yogi. If you ever find her, she's amazing.
We love you, Cole. Go we take love you, all of Cole. Her classes right now.
Please do. She's great. She really will. And the thing that was
not
so...
Not to put her on a pedestal or anything.
I'm sorry, Cole. We pedestalized you. It's going to be a long, hard fall down. No.
I got violent quickly.
I digress really hard. Cole, don't hit your head. Don't hit your head. No, so one of the things that was really... But I was so grateful. Let me tell you. Okay, want to move into gratitude? I was so grateful. I finished that class. And I got done, and I got the critique of my fucking life. Wow. I could handle so many critiques as an elementary school teacher, but the critiques that they gave me, I taught it to three people, the owner of Kula, and then two other teachers. And I had to teach this 90-minute class.
I feel like this sounds like a borderline abusive experience.
Oh my God, it was insane. I fucking got in my car, and I cried my eyes out. Because it was honest, they were honest with me. They were honest with me in a very brutal way. But it made me think, you know, it was stupid shit. Like, you massaged my head and my feet. And what came to mind was, are you massaging the head and the feet of everybody else? That means somebody else's feet were on your hands and then on my head. But, you know, the massage therapist in me was like, oh, this is going to feel great for everybody. There's only three of you here. This is a 90-minute fucking class. I need to kill some goddamn time. Fuck. Longest shavasana ever.
Shavasana!
I can't. I have a lisp. You guys, don't judge me.
I love your lisp.
Thank you.
It's adorable.
So that was a big experience for me to work through. And I got in my car and I cried my fucking eyes out. And I remember that's the conversation I brought to my therapist where she was like, I don't know, Holly, some people hit the road or hit the ground running. And I'm like, I did not hit the ground running. I hit the ground and I tumbled like I fell out of a fucking semi going 90 miles an hour.
And then three teachers came and kicked you while you were down.
They did. They did. They were like, break your jaw. I was like, what's that fucking fucked up movie? Oh, God.
American History X.
Yes! That's exactly the movie. You read my mind. That is exactly the movie. I'm like, just fucking break my jaw while I'm down. Mm-hmm. That was horrible. That's not exactly how it was. You guys, please don't be mad at me.
This has become a very violent yogi podcast.
We're under quarantine. What else do you expect?
It's true.
But, okay, so you asked the question of, like, how do you know if, like, really this is a good sign? Well, one of the things that you can also do is you can assess your abilities. Mm-hmm. You can take a realistic assessment and you can write down your accomplishments, whether it be academic, life, and personal.
Oh, I love this. It should go on your gratitude list, by the way.
Yeah, put it on your gratitude list. I mean, and I think the thing that's super important to acknowledge is we do have accomplishments. I did this and I created a list and I was impressed with all the things that I'd done so far. I'm like, man, I really did achieve this and I've done this and I've worked towards this and I've worked with my kids on this. And so it gives you the opportunity to maybe filter what is an imposter syndrome kind of message coming through that you're actually not a fraud. You know, moral of the story is I learned Don't massage the head and the feet in a fucking yoga class. People are going to wonder if you touch somebody else's dirty ass fucking feet before you touch their head.
Do all feet or all head.
Yeah, just that's what she said. Yes, had so to. Dirty. It really did. 12-year-old brain right here. I'm a young little boy.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, whoop, whoop. So women who believe in empowerment, and this actually goes for anybody who believes in empowerment, but they don't feel empowered, that's a true indication that you're suffering from imposter syndrome.
Oh, that's good. I love that.
So, questions to ask yourself. Do you downplay your achievements?
Yes.
You feel like I'm talking to you right now? I mean, I am. I am, but I'm not, but I am. Does the voice in your mind sound doubting, condescending, judgmental toward yourself or others? Oh my gosh, seriously, my poor partner. No, please don't stop because you're acknowledging everything that I need you to. I have been finding myself so judgmental, especially with being in close quarters with, I have a big house, you guys, and so I have a few, I rent out rooms in order to kind of just survive in this fucking world we live in. So I have found myself being so judgmental. Megan, she's going to belch. It did happen. But I have been feeling so judgmental about just like, I've been like, when was the last time this rug was fucking vacuumed? I'm the last one who fucking vacuumed this goddamn rug, aren't I? I did it. And then I'm hearing that. So even if that feels justified, you have to understand that if that's the voice that you have towards others, imagine the voice you have towards yourself.
I love this.
I know. You need to hear this. I know. We all need to hear this. This is why we're doing this podcast. It gives me something to do and you something to do because we're running out of time. Wait, all we have is time.
All we have is time. There is no time.
Time is real.
And I mean, I think that's true too. I mean, the world is like a giant mirror, right? A lot of times I think you're right. Like the way that you are treating other people is a good indication of how you're thinking of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I really don't like that quality of that person. Like her laugh is so obnoxious. And then you'll be like, oh, I'm just self-conscious about my obnoxious laugh.
Right. Or how come they didn't handle that better?
Yeah.
That is a really great indicator of how many times you are condescending to yourself of the way you handled something. Right. Snap, that's snap, amazing. Snap. So, imposter syndrome is this feeling of you're a fraud or that people view you as a fraud. So, one of the things that we really need to look at is that despite being told a number of times or even being receiving certificates and award, we have these internalizing messages that no matter the amount of accomplishments we have, it's still a perceived phoniness. So, we have to work through that. Oh, I'm towards the end of my notes.
We're doing better on time this time.
We're doing great on time. So I will just leave you with a few things to think about. Journaling, any of those questions that we went over, you know, what core beliefs do I have about myself? Do I believe I'm worthy? And must I be perfect for others? And then what aspects of my identity do I really attach to in expressing myself in who I believe that I am? And when we're under quarantine and as it moves around in the world, we have an opportunity to blend these things together, right? I think it's so beautiful how you picked Santosh and I'm like, I'm gonna do imposter syndrome. And you're like, well, mine's about acceptance. And I'm like, great, because you gotta accept, especially when you feel like a fraud, especially when you're afraid to express your feelings. You know, one thing that I have been told repeatedly throughout my life is that I put off a really good front. I put off that I am so strong. I put off that I have everything figured out. And a lot of people come to me for advice in that respect, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, it's a little isolating because it's like, well, who do I go to then? Yeah. When really underneath it, it's not that I have it all figured out at all. It's just that I have perfected the art of acting like I have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. And so that's one of the reasons why I pushed for this
news
topic.
Newsflash, no one has it all figured out.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know, so this is an opportunity for us to just really move through acceptance and brave the storm and perhaps pull out that journal, dust off that, you know, a piece of paper that someone maybe, or the journal that someone handed you a while back that you never did anything with? And can you move into, you know, even despite maybe some day drinking, which I think at heart, Megan and I are really purists, and we really do try to get to that place where we don't need any of these things to help us cope. But in the light of, oh man, just fucking let it go a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Sometimes you have to give in to the joys of life.
We really do. And sometimes it's nice to have a little glass of wine before you record a podcast and share with your friend.
Balancing the gratitude lists with the day drinking.
Panic, gratitude.
Middle ground.
I'm really working on that middle ground. So, yeah, we love you all. And next episode, we may be doing over Zoom, depending upon how this quarantine kind of plays out. But just know that we are here with you. We love you. And as we navigate this, we will be here to hopefully inspire you to stay a little grounded.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for, we're going to release a yoga nidra very soon for you to listen to and meditate.
We love you.
Love you.
Bye.